Let's pray. Father, 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 search our hearts. Father, to say we need you is such a vast understatement. Father, you are the very life in us. We have no life. Nothing that has been made was made apart from you. Every cell, every atom, not just in our bodies, God, but everything in this universe was created by you and for you. And Father, I just read a little while ago, Father, physicists can't grasp that, though they pretend to know so much, many of them, Father. We can't grasp it, but that's part of the mystery of our faith, Father. Lord, having said that, please, I believe that what each one of us needs most is a better, genuine, true, real grasp on the fact that you care for us, and in your eyes, everything is all right. And the hymns we sing, Father, the promises we read, your word, it's true. And Father, we don't pretend to not have days of doubt. We don't pretend, Father, to be poorly behaving children of yours sometimes. Father, we don't pretend any of that. Help us just to be more and more amazed that you will never leave or forsake us. And you know who we are. Search our hearts, Father. God, increase our hope. Please keep us away from the kind of despair that the world offers. Thank you, Father, for this day and what you have for us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, pizza or not, I'm not going to hurry. So, chapter 3. I always like to tell people, I haven't been in this text for a while, but this was the, from the first message I ever preached. It was in Paradise, Texas. Believe it or not, there is a Paradise, Texas. At that time, my wife and I were in seminary. We lived in the mobile home park behind Southwestern Seminary. We didn't know that's where the PoFo lived. We had the smallest mobile home in the park. It had aluminum wiring, Ted. How many of you know what about aluminum wiring? It was not legal very long. And my father, when he found that out, said, you go ahead and live in it. He said, but you make sure you tighten the connections in the box at least once a week. And I did. For those of you who don't know, and my dad, he was a welder and an amateur metallurgist, he knew that aluminum expands and contracts and can loosen the contacts. And then when a contact on something electrical is loose, it can arc. And when something arcs, and I'm not talking about a big boat, when it arcs, it can start a fire. I haven't preached this since Paradise, Texas, where I was sitting in my little Volkswagen because the whole church was one building. Pardon me, I'll get over this in just a minute. I was sitting in my little Volkswagen Beetle waiting for Sunday school to get out. It was a one-room church, and I looked, and not only was I in Paradise, Texas, I was in the presence of the first jackrabbit I'd ever seen. Yeah. Now, I actually believed, and I'm just going to tell you how gullible I used to be, I actually believed that at that time there was something called a jackalope. Yeah, that it was a cross between a jackrabbit and an antelope. Yeah, and if you drive through Texas or New Mexico, they'll sell you a postcard with pictures of jackalopes on them. But you can get back at those people when they come up here. You can take them snipe hunting, right? By golly, you just do that. Well, here's what's been going through my mind. It's why I came back to this text. Actually, just one phrase in this text, and it will really just be one point. We're going to start in chapter 3, verse 10. But I want to tell you what's been going on in my mind. I suspect it's similar to yours. But okay, so this is me personally. So I've got a new truck. It It's the newest vehicle I've ever had. It's a 2009. After church, if you'd like to take pictures of me sitting in it, it's out here. It's a white Nissan Frontier. And Martha, I look really good sitting in it. It's anyway, it's white. It won't be very long, but it is right now. We've been needing an extra vehicle. I'm happy. I'm so blessed. And we've prayed to get it. We've been, my wife and I, you know, we're empty nesters, and we've had just one vehicle since, I think, last September. Been getting by, doing fine, although days get complicated sometimes, and we have to go different directions. But it's like, you know, I'm a football guy, so I know how to design plays and so forth. God's been so good to me. I've got two beautiful grandchildren, my daughter and my son-in-law. They may be moving again, and that's actually a good thing, but it's all the details. But this last night as I went to sleep, we had gotten the truck yesterday, just overflowing with gratitude. You can appreciate that, right? It may not be where you are right now, okay? But you know something? Right before I got to bed, my new truck's parked out in the front. We usually park vehicles in back. And my next-door neighbor, Anisha, texts me. We watch out for each other in my Motley neighborhood. And she texts me. She said, do you have any idea whose truck that is out there? Because we'll get random, you know. And I said, it's mine, Anisha. Anyway, and she said, oh, I was just wondering. Robbie left today. Her husband left her yesterday. She said, but I just wanted to see whose it was, and anyway, and a little bit of yada yada. Anyway, blessing, heartache. I have, earlier today I mentioned my grandchildren. I was reading some, you know, I like to read odd news and funny news, and I was reading, I was watching some of these videos of, you know, people doing crazy things. I mean, guys, it's usually men, by the way. I don't know if you know that. Girls, I don't think you women do nearly as many dumb things as we do, because you don't have that gene, okay? Have I told you before that I've identified, I mean, I'm not a scientist or a geneticist, but there is something that, and I go to my 51st high school class reunion this coming Saturday. 51st, because we didn't get to meet last year for the 50th, and I'm going to share with them that there has something that will explain a lot about the men, the boys in our class of 1970 from high school, to your wives and other significant others, that will explain a lot. It's a genetic disorder, and I discovered it by doing my ancestry search and paying close attention to all the men in my family, extended family. There's something called male pattern dumbness. Yeah. Now, you ladies don't need to be shaking your heads. It's like, right there. Yeah, 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 yeah. I mean, we guys would appreciate it if you would do something like, well, you know. But to just go like this immediately is, yeah, too late. Maybe so. Martha, you stay out of this. I was watching funny videos, okay? And then I moved over to some news, and Afghanistan is falling apart and people are dying. And we've left them stranded. And I'm not being political. Do you see the contrast? Now, here's what I think is important for us to realize. This is life. This is the life of Christ in us, because if you want to be selfishly happy and be able with a clear conscience to huddle in your own little paradise in South Florida or in Lake of the Ozarks, if you want to be that person who can enjoy life and all your goodies and not be concerned about anybody else, don't become a Christian. You understand? Because as Christians, as people with Christ in us, we have His heart. And every time God blesses us with something or someone or any experience, He will also remind us, this also is the world, right? Look at this. Look at what Paul wrote. Now, this is a powerful statement of the Apostle Paul. He starts out in verse. I'm going to start with verse 8 because in some translations, verse 10 starts a new sentence, but it's actually the extended statement starts in verse 8. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I might gain Christ. And we know about that, don't we? We know that the Apostle Paul was an academic. He was a religious leader. He had the equivalent of probably two or three PhDs for the day. By the way, Dr. Francis Collins, who's director of National Institute of Health, I just saw his name on something. He's a Christian, okay? Dr. Francis Collins, you can Google that and read. You know why he became a Christian? He was treating years ago, still as an adult, but he was treating an older lady dying of cancer, and he could not. It baffled him that she had this unexplainable joy, and he just asked her one day, "Don't hold back your story. Don't hold back your story." Paul says, verse 9, "And so I want to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith." Now, here's a note about that, even though I'm not actually where I said I was going to begin. Has anybody ever accused you? I know they have. We have all been accused from time to time, usually behind our backs. And we have probably accused others of being self-righteous. Well, I got an easy answer for that. If you think I'm self-righteous, you got another think coming, because I know me. There's not a righteous bone in my body apart from Christ. I mean, I hope you can say that, but I'm telling you, I've known myself for 69 years and some change. Some of you have known yourselves longer than that. Do you think there's a righteous bone in your body? I don't think so. It's for you to take to God. So when someone says that, I go, listen, that's easy. If I ever gave you the impression that there's anything within me that is righteous, the only thing that is good about me is the Lord Jesus in me. Now, verse 10, so that I might gain. Here's Paul, and do some of you have, if it's New International, it begins a new sentence. I want to know Christ. Is that correct? Anybody? Okay. I want to know Christ, or that I may know Christ, and in knowing him, the power of his resurrection, and look at this, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I might somehow attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, that's kind of a combination of translations, but that's what he says. Now, the first question is, is Paul being doubtful about the resurrection? Well, no. Paul is still amazed at this point in his many years now of being transformed by Jesus. He is still amazed that God would save him. There's two sides. Talk about the contrasting experiences. My joy another part of the world suffering, or a neighbor suffering. This is also such a contrast. He's saying, I'm confident of the resurrection. I mean, go to 1 Corinthians 13. So a confidence in God and a humility, or even a wonderment about why and how he could save me, that's a healthy thing. I think we get confused sometimes, especially when we disappoint ourselves or we disappoint God. We grieve the Spirit, don't we? David finishes Psalm, I think it's Psalm 19. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but he says, "Search me, O God, and let me see if there's any hurtful way in me." Well, I'm afraid to pray that because he often shows me. You know, I mean, I promise you guys, when you're born a smart aleck, I forget who I was telling this morning, somebody that we talk about foot surgery, and my feet have been very, very healthy through the years because they've often been in my mouth. Right? It's just not much opportunity for them to get hurt. I wonder why you're laughing so hard. Some of you know him. I want to know him. I want to know him. I want to know him. I love telling, you know, we all know this. Remember the first time you saw that person, I'm going to meet her. I remember it was a Sunday evening in Cincinnati, First Baptist Church of Dent, and I looked out from the choir loft. Because we had a big singles group. We were doing special music that night. You're going to laugh, but we were getting ready to do special music with kazoos that night, okay? With kazoos and juice harps. And my best friend at the time was sitting right beside me, and we both looked, and we saw this dark-haired, real pretty new girl sitting towards the back. And I have to tell you, I consciously remember thinking, Rich is my best friend, but I'm going to meet her before he does. I married her. Yes. I want to know him. I saw her. I'm going to know her. Where is that? Do we pray, God, help, give me a longing to know you better. I want to know him. And along with him, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And that's really what got me started. And I won't stay on this. We'll go through the next few verses, and I'll still get home for pizza in good time. The fellowship, what is the fellowship of his suffering? Well, turn over to, if you can keep your place, turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. Because this is our world today. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 12, and here's Peter, not Paul, but here's Peter. This is Peter who says, by the way, at least once, that the Apostle Paul is sometimes hard to understand. Well, Peter explains some things here for us. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, he says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing as though some strange thing were happening to you." Don't be surprised. "But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with his exaltation." I'm grateful. I am so grateful that as I told you, as I made those contrasting statements about that my joy of my new truck, it's not new, it's 2009, and my neighbor's sorrow, I looked and I saw it. That hit you. And then when I said, you know, looking at funny stuff, and then immediately there's the news, the most recent news, that Kabul, Afghanistan, the last bastion, about to fall. And you know they're killing children and raping women and destroying things. And we should not be, we must not be afraid to face the reality. This is why the Lord Jesus Christ suffered and died. He destroyed the works of the enemy. You know the great comfort that we have is, and I'll tell you what, it is a mystery to me. It is a mystery to me, but among the, okay, so we're thinking, okay, those are Muslims slaughtering Muslims. No, not necessarily. First of all, I have learned recently, and the man who was supposed to be here tonight, who will be here sooner or later, Barry Corder, he and his family, his wife and his seven children, I think, a couple of them are here in the States going, they are working in Georgia, Eastern Europe, and Georgia sits just above Armenia. Armenia sits just above Iran. And from your perspective, Afghanistan is over here to what would be the southeast, okay? And there's an amazing number of people right now in Iran that are fleeing to Georgia and Armenia. In fact, the missionaries in Georgia are working more with Iranians than they are with Georgians right now. Can't wait for Barry to tell you this when he can. Well, that is also true. Do you think that 20 years of even American military presence has not spread the gospel? Now, I don't worship the military. I'm realist. Okay, a lot of dastardly people in the military, but there are lots and lots of good, solid believers too. But then, even if it is Muslim on Muslim, let me tell you something. The love of God is vaster than earth's vast expanse. It's deeper and wider than the sea. And yes, historically, almost every Muslim home also had a Christian New Testament in it because they at least honor Jesus as a prophet. Do you suppose that God in his magnificence, I'm not trying to be presumptuous here. I know that people need to say yes, need to accept the God, but God is God. Here's what I'm really trying to say. God is merciful. And as those innocent people, especially children, are dying, do you not believe that God is right there? I was born, and some of us were born maybe right before, many of us right during, a few of us right after. But think about the Holocaust. I think the thing that's always been hardest for me is looking at pictures of those Jews being rounded up and little children over here and their parents. Can you imagine? I can't imagine my little 3-year-old granddaughter being ripped from her mother and father and them being ripped from themselves. Can you imagine? God, where are you? He's got to be there, right? If he's not there, then what a crazy, wicked, awful world we live in. If God is not real and merciful, we are deliberately affected. It is a balance in our realism, in our lives, that we don't get all caught up in, I got a new truck, I'm just fine, I'm going to go home and have pizza with my wife and watch Andy Griffith. I am. But I can't stop praying. And you can't either. That's a Christ conscience. The fellowship of his suffering. And Paul saying, so that I might somehow be conformed to it, he's thinking, oh man, God, I don't doubt your existence. I don't doubt your work on the cross. I don't doubt your resurrection. I'm still so humbled by the fact that you would take dirty me. And so, brethren, verse 10, and I'll just go through these last few verses. Look what he does. He says, brethren, and I think it says sistren too, but when you say sistren, it sounds more like that thing you collect water in, doesn't it? Brethren, brothers and sisters, now look at this. This is the great apostle Paul. I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. I love that, don't you? People love it when we look at them and smile, and they know that we're good church folks, and they know that we're genuine Christians and faithful. But they actually love it when we smile and say, "Boy, I messed up that time, didn't I?" They love it because too many non-Christians have been around those Christians that just pretend to be perfect. Those people drive me crazy. I want to tell you about a church sign I saw. I saw a church sign one time, and I'm just going to, let's pick, it was a Baptist church, and it said, this is what it said. It said, what did it say? It said something like, I'm just going to say friendly, okay? Friendly Baptist church, okay, in an arc across their sign. Nice big pretty sign, okay? Second line, independent, okay. Premillennial, King James only, welcome. Right, you got it, didn't you? Right. Give me a break. I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but here's what I do. One thing I do, I forget. I choose to forget what lies behind, and I reach forward to what lies ahead. I didn't grow up on a farm, but I grew up, my dad was a farmer. So we lived on an acre of property, and we were surrounded by farms. We didn't live on a farm, we just farmed anyway. We lived along a state road where there are about 10 houses, national homes, outside of Lafayette on State Road 38 between Lafayette and Frankfort, actually between Lafayette and Mulberry. Anybody know where Mulberry is? Yeah, nobody. You should go there. They're a great ice cream place. And my dad, so the neighbors, we all had acre lots that were rectangular, and we gardened. If it wasn't yard, house, or garage, or chicken pen, the rest of it was garden, okay? We four kids planted 5,000 onion sets every spring. I promise you. 100 to a row, 100 to a row. They came in bundles from Earl May Seed Company in Shenandoah, Iowa. And my dad knew if we cheated. I'd get to the end of a row sometimes, and I'd, you know, maybe get them a little too wide before, because I was always in a hurry. And if you toss, I could toss some of them behind my back into the strawberry patch because they weren't ripe yet. And my dad knew. And I had to go find them and put them back in the row. That was just the onions. We used the back of our neighbor's rectangular lots to plant sweet corn. And I learned to drive a tractor at 8 years old. And I couldn't reach the clutch, so my welder father welded a block on the clutch so I could reach it on our Avery tractor. And I also learned to drive that tractor forward by looking. It was just when you get bored and you're driving a tractor all day, you just do things that you're not supposed to do. It did have a rear view mirror. I'm not sure why. But just for fun, I'd drive the tractor forward looking in the rear view mirror. You could do it with a car, right? Think about what you do. You just keep the rear, you know, just keep the back of the vehicle between the lines, right? It's not only stupid, it's dangerous. It's not only dangerous, it's sad. Because if you live your life going forward, looking back, think about it. You're going to miss a lot. You're going to run over somebody. You're going to get hurt. And it's not going to happen very long because you're going to run off the road. So you should stop it. Forgetting what lies behind. Now, I mentioned my reunion coming up. Okay, it's Saturday, this coming Saturday evening, and I have to MC it. Imagine them asking somebody like me, you know, why did they not get a shy person? Okay, I'm going to MC it. I'm going to tell them about the male pattern dumbness thing, okay, because I think it needs to be, we need to get it out, okay? It does not require a mask, okay? But I'm looking forward to it being over. You know why? I've been putting together, my high school only existed for 10 years, 1966 to 1976, and our classes, each class was not even quite 100 people. Mine was 92, okay? So approximately, probably a little less than 1,000 students graduated from Wainwright High School in southeastern Tippecanoe County. It's part of Lafayette McCutcheon now, okay? It's almost, anybody ever heard of Clarksville or Stockwell or any of those little towns up there? But I'm looking forward to being over. I've been putting together, out of those 1,000 students who have graduated, 196 have passed away. Now, do you know that when a 50-year class reunion or thereabouts rolls around, about 20% is average. So if you've been to one or you know about how many have graduated from your, or have in your class have died, it's going to be about 20%, almost, most likely, unless you live near an old atomic, you know, electric plant or something. It's probably higher than that near Chernobyl in Russia. But I'm looking forward to it, but I want to get past it because I've been doing the slideshow for all the people who've died. And I've known a lot of them. One of them is a girl I went out with, and I didn't know Cindy died. One thing I'm going to ask after the slideshow is how many of you, it's going to be too many people to answer, but I'm going to say a lot of you probably saw people up there you didn't know had passed away. One of my good friends passed away just a month ago. I knew about that, but another one, who 2 years younger than me, he was my hometown doctor's son, Steve. I didn't know he died. All these things. And so, again, see that mixture? But I'm ready for it to be over, because 50 years ago, 51 years ago or more, depending on when you grad, it's been a long time ago. And I want to live my life to the fullest until God says, home, home. We had a horn. Anybody have a dinner bell growing up? My dad always brought stuff home from Alcoa Aluminum. They had a salvage yard. You guys that like to build stuff, what you would die for. Angle iron, pipe of all sizes, wire of all gauges, three-wire copper. You know, Dad would bring home big, he'd fill the pickup truck with balls of wire. We'd set it on fire, and then I'd have to strip it, and we'd take it to the salvage yard. That's how I grew up. I'm an overeducated salvager, and I'm glad. But anyway, I just want to move on. It's a long time ago that all these things happened. Paul's being realistic and humble and hopeful. Emotions are a gift. They are not ever to dominate our reason. Jesus died to take away our sins, not our brains. Right? So sentimentalism, nostalgia, emotional things, we should process them, but they should not, this is a side point, because I have to do this with people counseling all the time. You're letting your emotions, you're letting how you feel decide what you should do. You need to think about in your will, what is the good and reasonable and intelligent thing to do, and your emotions will follow that. I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting is a choice. What lies behind, reaching forward at what lies ahead, and I press on. I press on toward the goal, because there is a goal. There is a goal. Do you know that if you're Hindu or Buddhist or one of the Eastern reincarnational religions, do you know what the goal is if you're Hindu or Buddhist? Nirvana. Do you know what nirvana is? Nothing. Literally, it's nothingness. Hello? I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We have a goal. We have been accused over the centuries as Christians of being selfishly motivated. And I admit to it. But I tell you what, you got to make your choice as to what your goal is. And I'm going to have to say, not really selfishly motivated, because in order to seek this goal, this prize, I have to die to myself. And Christ has to live in me. And then I have to practice that every day, don't I? I'm hesitant to say this because when I say something like this, I'm like Paul, no super spiritual guy here, but I pray every morning, God, help me die today. Help me die today. God, save me. I know I'd said it this morning. Save me from myself. It was a cartoon strip, and I can't remember it now, but you may when I say this. We see the enemy, and the enemy is ourselves. Yes, Pogo. Save me from myself. You see, our flesh is still present. But it is. It's defeated, but it's still present. Christ in me, rise up, live, breathe. I need hints of heaven like beautiful days. Waterfalls and little children, smiles and laughs. glimpses of heaven. For us, you've heard this, you know this, just believe it more. Those are glimpses of heaven that remind us, these are just glimpses of just little slits in eternity, right in a time right now where we can begin to get a taste of what's coming. People who do not know Christ get those glimpses too, but that's the best they'll ever get. I want the prize. If I'm selfish, okay, I'm selfish. Let's pray. Father, I'm still thinking about Psalm 51 this morning. Create in me, in each of us, a clean heart, and renew a steadfast spirit. Father, strengthen our will. Give us a better grasp on why you grasp us. Father, thank you for reminding me more often recently, that the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. But Father, you've called us through to a narrow gate and a narrow way. And Father, going through that means we have to drop a lot of our stuff before we can get through the gate. Father, help us to please just simply let you be more and more of who you are in us. God, I pray your goodness and your blessing and every gift on this body of believers, on First Baptist of Linton, Father, on every individual here, comfort and conscience and joy and desire to exercise our gifts and Father, a demonstration of love. Father, thank you for this day and your word. In Jesus' name, amen.